mean, you were still out there.
Totally fine. Will you just do like a quick thing to say, don't forget there will be a VBS
meeting
right after church here in the sanctuary.
All right.
That's all you guys.
Okay.
Thank you. We don't have a camp, but there will be a way for us to visit for our tent.
To what?
We need a tent. We want to go camping, but we don't have a tent.
I don't have a tent.
Do you know if anybody would?
Tell you what, Av, see if either Cheryl or Lynn could post it online for you. Yeah. And then if
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing I'll Fly Away. little country there this morning. Hey, we're going to sing about how great is our God. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Ushers come forward.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how great thou art. And we thank you for our church today. We thank you for the ministries that has and for the witness that has here in Kalamazoo. Now, Lord, we just ask that you guide us through this day and bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our God is a consuming fire, a burning holy flame with glory and freedom. Our God is the only righteous judge, ruling over us with kindness and wisdom. We will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you. A mighty fortress is our God. A sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable. With you forever we will reign. Our God is jealous for his own. None could comprehend his love and his mercy. Our God is exalted on his throne, high above the heavens, forever he's worthy. And we will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you. A mighty fortress is our God. A sacred your name. Your kingdom is unshakable. With you forever we will reign. We will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you, so we can set our hearts on you. Lord, we can set our hearts on you. A mighty fortress is our God. A sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable. With you forever we will reign. With you forever. Consuming fire, a burning holy flame with glory and freedom.
I'm so thankful for our praise team. They work so hard and they do such a great job. How about just let's praise the Lord for our praise team. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church, and there will be a VBS meeting for all the workers right after the service. So where Joel is sitting over there, that's where the meeting will take place, okay? But that will be right after a quick break. business meeting, okay? We have a quick, it won't be real long, but we have just a couple things. It's the fourth Sunday of the month. It's time for us to talk about a couple things. So those will both be right after the morning service. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy 34. There is a pastor who's, he was in a small little church, and the building was falling apart, and the paint was all chipped, and didn't look very good, and the pastor didn't have very much money, and the church didn't have very much money, and so he kept telling the church, hey, we need to repaint this building, we need to repaint it, and they just kept saying, sorry, we don't have the money, and so he went out with his own money, and he bought some paint, and he started painting it, but he realized he didn't have enough paint. So he started to put a little thinner into the paint to make it stretch it just a little bit further. And so he finally got it all done, and it looked beautiful. And so he was so proud of it. He couldn't wait for the church people to show up on Sunday and see it. And all of a sudden, it started to rain. And everything washed off. And he heard a loud voice from heaven say, repaint and thin no more. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7. My daughter actually told me that one, so. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. It says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. We are ready to launch into a new study, and we're going to study the judges. And we're not going to look at the cyclical nature of Israel. That's an obvious thing that happens in the book of Judges. What we're going to focus on is our theme for the year, a license to thrive. And in the middle of Israel going through the most severe political and economic and servile conditions that a nation could undergo, God would raise up judges. And these people were ordinary people that had small little gifts that they put to use for God, and he used them in amazing ways. And I'm excited. Next Sunday, we're going to start diving into the judges. But before we can go into the book of Judges, we have to understand what happened first. And we have to understand something about this man, Moses. The Bible tells us here he is 120 years old when he died. Moses spent 40 years training under Pharaoh. That's the first blank in your bulletin. Moses spent 40 years training under Pharaoh. He then spent 40 years as a shepherd of sheep in the wilderness in a land called Midian. And then he spent 40 years leading God's people. It took 80 years for Moses to be to the place where he was ready to lead God's people. And then when he led God's people, here's how he's described as 120-year-old. Now, we don't have anybody in here that's 120, right? Do we have anybody over? Okay, a couple of you feel like you're 120. All right. But here, listen to this description. His eye was not dim. He had the eyesight of a young man. Now, I'm not getting there. I am kind of, because I can't see as well as I used to, but I'm still a young man. So, but I understand what it's like for the eyes to start to go dim. And God was with Moses and didn't even let his eye go dim. And then it says that his natural force was not abated. That has to deal with how he was as a man. He still had the energy and spring in his step of a young man. He did not have the dry and wrinkled look. The word force there deals with moisture. His face still had the look of a young man. He didn't have the dry, wrinkly skin. He still had the moist, flush face. He had the look that when we look in the mirror, guys, and we remember the 19-year-old, remember that guy that we used to see? He still had that look as a 120-year-old. His natural force, the vigor of his strength, his look had not diminished at all. And you say, so then why did Moses die if he was still healthy? Why did he die? Well, he died because of disobedience to what God had told him to do. There are occasions where the children of Israel, while he was leading them for 40 years, there were times where they were thirsty and they didn't have any water. And so God had told him at one time, take your staff and hit the rock and water will come out. So he took his staff, he hit the rock, water poured out. Enough water for the entire nation, 2 million plus people to drink. Well, then there came another time where the people were thirsty. And so he prayed and asked God for a source of water. And God said, I want you to speak to the rock. Well, Moses was mad at the people because they were griping and complaining. And so he went and he hit the rock instead of speaking to it. He disobeyed God. And you look at that and you say, that's such a small thing. And here's the thing about God. God demands obedience. He demands obedience. And when we say, God, I'm going to obey you my way, God says, okay, you can have your way, but your way will lead to shortness of life. The scriptures tell us there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Moses, even though he still had the look, the energy, the vigor of a young man at 120 years old, God took him because he disobeyed. Now, the people that Moses was leading, they had gone up to this promised land. They left Egypt for the specific purpose of going into the promised land. And they go up to the promised land, and Moses sends out 12 spies. And if any of you ever learned the song in junior church or when you were little, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad, and 2 were good. Anybody ever hear that song? Should I sing it? No, I won't sing it for you. I'll spare you. Thank you. Yes, I heard that. 10 of the spies, they looked around and they saw everything they saw. It was beautiful. Everything was lush. Everything. It took 2 people to carry 1 cluster of grapes. That's a lot of grapes, right? And the land was a land described as flowing with milk and honey. 10 of the spies saw that and they're like, yeah, the land is awesome. But the people that live there, they are big. I mean, they are giants. We can't beat them. But two of the spies, their names were Caleb and Joshua. They went into the land, they looked at it, and they said, woo, God's going to give us this. See, it's a difference of perspective. Sometimes we look at the trials of life, and we look at what's going on, and we say, whoa, that is too hard. That is too much. I don't want that. Or we can look at it and say, wow, look at what God is going to have to carry me through. And Joshua and Caleb, that's how they approached life. They looked at that promised land, and they knew that it was promised to them by God, and they said, I can't wait to see how God gives us victory over these giants. Well, the 10 spies convinced the 2 million people that the land was too difficult to take, and so they all died in the wilderness, all 2 million people, except for Caleb and Joshua. Joshua becomes the next leader of Israel. And turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, the Lord says these amazing things to Joshua. He says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun. It doesn't mean he didn't have a dad or a mom. It just, his dad's name was Nun. All right. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I give to you, which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Now, if you're Joshua and you're hearing this, you've seen Moses at work. You've seen how he's 120 years old. Now, let me just give you by comparison something. When Isaac was about 140 years old, the Bible describes his eyes as being so dim, he couldn't see his own son right in front of him. He couldn't tell the difference between his sons. All right? And so Moses at 120, to be full of life and full of vigor like this, it was truly a God thing. And Joshua had observed Moses. And now God gives Joshua this promise. Joshua, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. You ever read something in the Bible, read about a character in the Bible, a guy like Joshua or a guy like Moses, and you read about them and you're like, yeah, I wish God could do that for me. I don't see why he would not. He's the same God. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I never leave you. I never forsake you. I am always with you. And so God gives us those promises. Why would we look at a guy like Moses and say, well, God can't do that for me? I believe he can. I believe he will. I believe he doesn't, not because he can't, but because we don't. We don't desire it. We don't seek after it. We don't find it. Now, it's pretty neat that Joshua hears this. He hears, here's what he had to think. My eyesight can stay 20/20. I can still have the look and the vigor of a young man the same way you were with Moses. Moses hit rocks and water came out. Moses prayed to the Lord and quail came out of heaven for us to eat. Moses prayed to the Lord and bread fell to the earth for us to eat. And God will be with me like that. In Isaiah 40:31, it tells us, but they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. See, God, he continually, throughout generations, gives us promises that he will be with us, that he will help us. And so you look at your life right now, and I don't care how old you are. If you're 7 or 77 or 97, God provides strength. God provides the ability. As long as you draw breath, as long as you are on this earth, God has something for you to do. And so do it. And don't ever say, oh, I'm too old, I'm too tired, I'm too this, I'm too that. Because at 120, Moses was still, if he hadn't disobeyed God, he still had the energy and the strength. And for you, no matter how old you are, no matter what's going on in your life, God can provide the energy and the strength. Now look at verse 6 in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people you will divide an inheritance the land which I promised to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Second time he said, be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. You want to know the secret to life? The secret to prospering in the Lord? Follow God's law and follow it straight down the, don't go left, don't go right. Don't be liberal, don't be conservative with God's word. With God's word, follow what it says. And then you will prosper. And then you will have good success. You go to the right, you lose the promise. You go to the left, you lose the promise. When it comes to God's word, walk the line. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you want that in your life? Do you want your way to be prosperous? Do you want to have good success? Follow the law of the Lord. Let it be in your mouth continually. Here's how it's in your mouth continually. Here's how this works. A situation comes up in your life where you have to make a decision. And you don't make that decision based on your feelings, your opinions. You make that decision based on what you know the Word of God says. And when you make that decision based on what God says, He will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. And then verse 9. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage. Third time he said that. Third time he said, be strong. We live in a world where you have to be strong as a Christian, don't you? You live in a world where you have to be courageous if you're going to speak your faith. So be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua communicates the way to have good success. So let's just real quickly go through these. Number one, be strong. Be strong. There's a whole lot of wimpy Christianity out there. There's a whole lot of people that don't want to stick to God's word. They want to follow what culture tells us to do. They want society to tell us what our morals, what our values, how we should act, how we should think. And I want to tell you something. Be strong. We're in an election cycle. Don't you hate election cycles? Yep, I do too. Be strong. How? Voice your faith. Let his word be in your mouth continually. Don't leave his word to the right hand or to the left hand. Stay strong in God's word. Be courageous. Have the courage to speak up for God when everyone else is speaking against God. Be courageous to face whatever life has thrown at you with reckless abandon in Christ, where you're able to stand up against all the giants, where you're able to stand up against all the foes, and you say, I know my God is with me. He will help me. Be courageous. Meditate on God's word. I don't think we spend nearly enough time meditating on God's word. And the great thing about this is I'm not saying you should go home and read chapters of Bible at a time. That's wonderful if you do. You'll learn so much, and it'll get into your life, and it'll transform you. But you know what? If you can't do that because you don't get anything out of it, then read one verse and meditate. Now, don't cross your legs, get in a yoga position, put your hands out, and okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Meditate in God's word is process it over and over and apply it in every way that you can. A great place to start would be the Proverbs. You want to learn to meditate on God's word? Read a proverb. Not Confucius say, but in the Bible, the book of Proverbs. And read one of those. Maybe read three verses. Maybe read one verse. And just think about it. Let it recycle in your mind over and over. And then try to reproduce it when life situations come at you. Meditate on God's word. Think it over. Chew it like the cow chews the cud. Chew it up, spit it out, and chew it up again. Over and over and over. So that what God's word says is fully thought out in your life so that you're able now to live it out. And then the fourth thing is do God's word. Do it. When Nike came up with their slogan, just do it, they were on to something. And it's worked, right? How many billions of dollars does Nike make in selling their stupid shoes, right? As a Christian, God has given us his word, and he tells us, do it. Don't depart to the right. Don't go to the left. Don't even vary from his word a little bit. Because when we start to depart from his word even just a little bit, we hurt our faith. God told Moses here, this is how you make your way prosperous. This is how you can be a good success. So now, do it. I got a video here I want you to watch, and we'll close up our service this morning.
Hey, listen, my buddies are going to see this movie, okay? And I know you and I know about the movie. We talked about it, okay? But before you say anything, okay? I know, okay? I know that there is some cussing in the movie, okay? But it's just a little bit, okay? Just a little bit, and I know it's not real, okay? And there's some violence, okay? But it's just a little bit, and I know it's not real, you know? Yeah. And there's some nudity in it, okay? But it's just a little, and I know it's not real. But anyway, can I please go see the movie, please?
Okay.
I knew it. You don't ever let me do anything. What do you say?
You can go see the movie.
That's awesome. You're the coolest guy in the whole wide world.
Whoa, before you go, I knew we were going to have this conversation again, so I decided I would make you some of my famous brownies that you loved since you were a kid.
These are my favorite brownies
You've
in the whole wide world.
You've loved those brownies since you were a little kid. And so I thought I'd just make them for you. You know, same great ingredients that I always put in those brownies, but this time I just added a little bit of something, It shouldn't affect the whole batch. It's just a little bit of something.
You shouldn't mess with perfection.
That's my point exactly. But I've added the same ingredients that I always have. You got the eggs, the flour, the cocoa. You got the little bit of vanilla. You got the almonds. Same great ingredients that I always put in there.
Powdered sugar?
Powdered sugar is in there. But this time I added just a little bit of something.
Brown sugar?
Brown sugar. A little bit of brown sugar, yeah.
White sugar?
Sure. Yeah, we'll go with that ad lib. Sure. But I added just a little bit of something in there. Just a little bit of something. It shouldn't affect the whole batch, though.
Cumin?
No.
Allspice?
No.
Old Spice?
No.
I can taste a little difference.
But it shouldn't affect the whole batch, son. It's just a little bit. I mean, yes, same wonderful ingredients, but it's just a little bit of something.
What is it?
Dog poop.
Excuse me?
Just a little bit, son. Just a little bit.
It is dog poop. From the big dog or the little dog?
From the little dog.
Whew. That's a load off. Why would you put dog poop in the brownie?
Son, it shouldn't affect the whole batch. It's just a little bit.
I get it.
What?
It's just a little bit.
What?
Hey, the next time you don't want me to go see a movie, just say, son, don't go see a movie. Don't feed me poop brownies. I don't even want to go to the movie now. I just want to go get something to drink. That better be lemonade in the refrigerator.
God said, don't go to the right or the left. You know what we do? We say, if I just veer just a little bit. We say, let me just have a little bit of what I want, God, not what you want. You know, we wouldn't put a little bit of poop in brownies, right? Why would we put a little bit of the world into our life? Why would we allow just a little bit of the influence of evil into who we are as God's children? It doesn't make sense. And when we do, we lose the ability for God to make our way prosperous and for us to have good success. My prayer for you is that you would listen to the word of the Lord with all your heart that you would lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways you would acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you this morning that as we study it, that it's awesome. What you did for Moses is not something that cannot be reproduced. In fact, Lord, you've reproduced it many times over. And you did it for Joshua. As he meditated on your word, as he stood strong and courageous, as he followed you in every single way, Lord, you made him a great success. You made him prosper. God, help us to understand what it means in life to prosper. Help us understand that following you is the only way to find the success that we need. And Lord, as we close out this time together, if anyone here is struggling in their life with following you, with obeying your word, I pray that they would just kneel before you this morning and say, God, help me. Since you give us these commands, you will also give us the help we need to follow through with them. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, this morning there is no way that they can follow you. Because they're not your sheep yet, they can't hear your voice. So Lord, I pray that right now in this quiet moment that they would realize Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin. He was buried and he rose again from the grave. And when he did so, he paid the penalty for sin. And he created the way for each one of us to have everlasting life in heaven. And Lord, if anyone here will call upon the name of the Lord as their Savior, Lord, you will save them. So now, Lord, as we close out this time, work in our hearts and lives. Help us to put to commitment the things that we've heard this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing the song in closing. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd love to talk to you. I invite you to come on up here to the front and tell me that you'd like to trust Jesus Christ, and we'll have someone talk to you, and you can leave today as a child of God, being a sheep that follows him. And if you're here this morning and you are saved, but you've been letting just a little bit of the world in, I challenge you this morning, confess that to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Make a commitment to him that you will not keep doing that. And this morning, God will begin to shape your way to be prosperous, and he will help carve out a way for you to be a good success. I'm so glad my God broke my chains, that he overcame for me. And as you leave here today, walking in the way of God is where freedom lies. Go right or go left, you are no longer in freedom. You're in bondage. And so Jesus Christ today tells you, you are free. Let's pray. Lord God, you are wonderful. I thank you for your word this morning. I pray that it'll be rich in our lives. Help us to meditate. Help us to think on it, chew it up, recycle it, and help us, Lord, to live it. So to you, the great and faithful God, the mighty I am, to you be praise forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will have a business meeting in 5 minutes. The Lord bless you.